How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
We just want a winning streak. Is that too crazy to ask for a winning streak? The Kings were in action starting a mini road trip, a little back-to-back. First game in Memphis against the Grizzlies team. It's been playing some good basketball. They've won 6 of 7 games. They're top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. One of the best transition teams in the league. Great at points in the paint. How could the Kings hang with this tough team? Well, they hung, and then they got a lead, and then it evaporated. Then they got the lead again. And then Ja Morant got ejected after a rough night? Kings had to have won, right? No, because a familiar theme continued. Sacramento's three-point shooting was a piss-a-poor. They end up in this game shooting 8 of 35 from downtown. In fact, they made just 2 threes in the second half of this game. And the Memphis Grizzlies bench, one of the best benches, the number one scoring bench in the league, scored 60 points to Sacramento's 15. And the Kings fall in Memphis tonight, 115 to 110, with a game against the Spurs coming up tomorrow night. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan, who's in San Francisco. Morgan, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I just feel a little defeated. And it's like, you know, you say it's the same story. You're right. You saw a lot of good things happen with the Kings too. And I think where I'm down was the same thing we've also been saying this whole season is if you're a good team, you'll figure out how to get the dub. And coming off of that Houston win, I just think I was like, this is the effing start. Like, this is it. And of just like putting a few together. You're not going to win every game. Well, whatever. And you literally go back to not making any of your shots. And Mike Brown, even after the game, Deuce, was asked the question. I don't even know what the freaking question was. And he's like, you're going to have to ask Monty and Wes that question because there's only so much, like, I got to work with what I have here. And he's like, and if people aren't making their shots, then they're not doing their job. And what I loved about it, I was like, thank you, coach. I said the same thing like 5 games ago.
Yeah, and that was from Chris Biederman of the B. I think he asked him a question about the shooting, the bench production, and if they need to look elsewhere to get help, maybe via trade. And, you know, Mike played the line of, look, I just have to coach the players I have. That's up to the front office to figure those things out. And, you know, this game was there for the taking. I mean, they did some good things tonight. And that's what's so frustrating is there were good things. We saw moments of really great defense. Some of the defense early in the second quarter, I was like, dude, this is the most locked in they've been defensively. The shot making is just atrocious. And that's been the theme all year. And it's not like it's like, oh man, Memphis contested all those shots. No, like Kevin Huerter, I think most of his looks tonight from downtown were wide open. Kevin Huerter tonight goes 0 for 6 from 3. And this stat, Morgan, I'm going to read you. This is from Wheezy916 on Blue Sky.
Okay.
So they went 8 of 35 from distance tonight and lost by 5. They went 12 of 32 and lost by 2 to the Spurs. They went 9 of 25 against the Nets, lost by 5. 12 of 37, lost by 4 in overtime to the Wolves. They went 10 of 40 and lost by 3 in overtime to the Raptors. 15 of 44 and lost by 4 to the Lakers. 11 of 29 and lost by 2 to the Wolves. This team has talent. This team is able to score at different levels. But the three-point shooting in this league, you have to knock them down. And the Kings are having awful three-point shooting nights and losing like this. We're talking about all those losses I just talked about. We're all by single digits. We're talking about 5 points or less. That's tough. That's, you think about, man, if you just make two or three more threes, can you have a night where you shoot 32% from downtown? That changes everything.
Deuce, in that, what's so bizarre is that it's people who actually have started a career on making three-point shots.
Yeah.
And, or even have had a career of being known as someone that can make a three. And I said this to Kyle on the postgame show. I said, you know, if we're talking about like a game here and there, even for Kevin Huerter, like even for him, if there's a game here and there, bad shooting night. But we're getting to the point where it's a lot of bad shooting nights.
Oh, yeah.
All in one season. And all that, it's not just because of the defense that they're playing against. It's literally them not making a shot. It's mind-blowing to me. I feel bad because, and where I feel bad because, like, when you're playing at a high level and you're not doing something you're used to, sometimes you have a bad season, all the different things, whatever. How are there like five guys having a bad season though, when it comes to that category? That's where I'm just like, yeah, confused.
Yeah. It's one of those things that if you have these nights every once in a while, you go, that's part of the season. But when you have these nights, the majority of the season, that means you're a bad shooting team. The bench scoring also was not good again. And you know, the bench scoring might go down when Malik is now in the starting lineup, but you got 15 points off your bench tonight. The Grizzlies scored 60. And you look at the Grizzlies' depth, and I think this is what's tough for me to stomach, is we're not talking about like household names. If you're a basketball sicko like me or like you, Morgan, we watch some G League games because we call G League games. We know about Scottie Pippen Jr. We know about Jay Huff back in his South Bay Lakers days, right? These two guys have been big for Memphis this year, okay? Mm-hmm. Crucial for them. Anybody in the league could have picked them up, you know? And so that's where you go, okay, how are we missing on those guys? You know, it's not like the Grizzlies, look, I'm not trying to act like they're not good at this, but like Jay Huff didn't all of a sudden go to Memphis and they unlock something with him. It's like, no, he's been working on his game, last year was in Denver, not really playing much, kept grinding in the G League, and now he's getting an opportunity to show what he can do. He's not knocking down big shots, you know? Santi Aldama's making big shots for them. These aren't necessarily household names, but their bench is the number one scoring bench in the league. And on a night where Ja Morant not only gets ejected in this game in the fourth quarter of a close ball game, but really was not good. He was 2 for 13. They win this game. Balanced attack. And it's exactly opposite with Sacramento, where they were relying on their guys. And if their guys aren't great, they don't have others right now they can count on to step up when Fox has an off shooting night. Fox has been great most of the year. Off shooting night tonight. He still impacted the game, but these are the nights where you need Kevin to come in and knock down 15. These are the nights where, you know, you would love to see them be able to go to someone like Keon Ellis and him knock down a couple of threes, but Keon plays like, what, 2 minutes in this game. So these are the frustrating elements of where the Kings are at this point, and this is consistent. It's the three-point shooting, bench scoring, it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it right there with it's like, I'm not going to be mad at someone like De'Aaron when he has his off night, right? Because it's exactly what you said. Who the hell is going to be reliable and is going to step up and be someone that you can depend on? And it can't just be Domas having his, you know, whatever numbers, cleaning shit up around the rim. Like, it's good. Malik Monk making his threes. It's good. DeMar DeRozan, like, he has his moments in obviously getting to the free throw line and everything as well. I felt like there was a few times there, and it's like, I'm not mad about it, because I think he's given a green light to do whatever necessary. And he is this competitive fire that, hey, I can get this shit done. The ball needs to be in my hand. I can get this shit done. It's not an ego. I think it's a competitiveness about him. And there was a few moments when he was like backing someone down. I forget who it was. And then he threw it into Sabonis. Mm-hmm. But Monk was curling along the three-point line. And I was just like, you could have given him even a quick look there. And then you go to the last possession, Deuce, where they were trying to get a three and tie the game at 113. And it was that was not executed, because there's no way that's what was drawn up.
No.
But, you know, you get the ball in Kevin Herter's hand, and it's like, okay, no, everyone attaches to him. And then Malik Monk has to take a shitty three. I guess my point is like, it just felt like no one else was stepping up throughout. And then when you saw there at the end, it just didn't feel like Kings basketball either.
I completely agree with you. I thought the pace at times tonight, especially in the second half, wasn't good enough. And I can't really explain why that was, because it wasn't just DeMar. Like, I thought De'Aaron at times was bringing the ball up slow. And I think one of the things that the Kings found great success in some of their high scoring quarters the last couple of games, remember they had a 42 point first quarter against San Antonio with Monk in the lineup, and then they had that 42 point third quarter with Monk in the lineup too. And I think part of that is the ball was popping, the movement was there, and put the ball in Monk's hands. Like, the fact that Sabonis, I think, took one shot in the fourth quarter, is that right? I almost want to double check that, because that Monk Sabonis pick and roll is deadly, and run it, because even if they take it away, you could get something good out of it, right? And so I'm looking at the fourth quarter of this game, and Sabonis didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter.
Jesus.
Sabonis did not take a shot in the fourth quarter.
And a lot of his points were from putbacks, by the way.
He took four shots in the second half. And that play, and I'm not acting like Memphis is not good enough. Taylor Jenkins is a really good coach. That Grizzlies defense is good too. They've got length and stuff. I'm not saying, oh, all of a sudden that's going to lead to Sabonis scoring at will. But, like, Sabonis can finish. And you never know what comes out of that pick and roll. You know, Monk is so good at creating for others, and maybe even getting that little mid-range floater, whatever. But down the stretch of this game, he didn't have the ball in his hands enough. And I'm sorry, like, this guy has been explosive. He's done it off the bench in the starting lineup. The ball has popped more with the ball in his hands. The play you mentioned where DeMar tried to force it to Sabonis was a tough one too, because it was 113-110. Fox just scored a bucket. Marcus Smart gets a corner three, misses it. DeMar gets the ball, pushes strong. It was like a fantastic push. I'm like, great. But he kind of pushed into the corner, which I don't think he got too deep in the corner. The Grizzlies were defending it well, and then he tried to force it to Sabonis. And you have to make a better play. Like, I'm about getting in there fast, but you dribbling right into the corner, you kind of trap yourself, force yourself into a tough decision with long arms around you. I didn't like that play at all. And I do agree with you on that. I thought there were too many times where it was ISO. What did I go over in that third quarter when the Kings ran that same play 10 times? They were getting DeMar in action without him creating, you know?
Who does that fall on, Deuce? You know, like, am I looking too far into, like, trying to find the blame game? Like, does that fall into, like, coaches not saying, hey, like, this needs to happen instead? Or does that fall into, like,
everybody? Players? Everybody.
Okay.
If Sabonis is like, I haven't touched the ball. I have not gotten a shot attempt here in the fourth quarter. He needs to speak up. But also, if you're on the bench, these NBA coaching staffs have 10 people on the bench. Okay. If I'm sitting watching the game with the box score in front of me, like I do, and I see he has not gotten a touch, we need to get this. We call a timeout. We got to get Sabonis in some action. Let's get some Monk Sabonis action going, you know? And so that's the frustration. But the other one is like, yeah, I mean, I know you want to hey, DeMar's a good ISO player. You live with it. And let's be honest, one of the significant, he was getting to the line. He was 13 of 14 at the line tonight. And one of the bigger swing plays of the game that really should have turned this game in favor of Sacramento was he got the mismatch with Ja again, and he went to work. Ja got him. Tough call, by the way. And I know DeMar's been getting that call for 15 years, but if we were on the other side of that, I think it'd be heated right now.
Oh, yeah.
He did kind of lean into him.
Yeah.
DeMar sold it. They call a foul. Ja just loses his shit, which I could not believe he did that. Like, that was an awful, awful way to be ejected with, like, 6 minutes to go. But I'm sorry. I'm talking way too much, and I think it's because you're not here. You know what I mean?
You know what? It's so funny. I love it.
It's weird.
Like, I was like, God, when I leave you in 5 minutes, I go, Deuce is fine. Deuce can talk for.
I know. I'm sorry, dude.
No, it's okay. Hey, it's okay, Deuce. It's okay.
I was going ISO. I was going ISO by myself. I had tunnel vision. I'm not giving you the rock to let you cook. But yeah, so going larger point, bad 3-point shooting. Bench play not good enough. The offense was inconsistent with the pace. That hurts. That really hurts. And then I thought we talk about bad runs. Every game, and I know basketball's a game of runs. Today's league, there's big runs. Blah, 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 blah. But it just seems like Sacramento, more than any other team, they're up like 11, and then it's a 15-0 run. Or I'm like, what? Why does that have to be a 15-0 run? It can't be a 7-2 run and figure it out. 15-0 run, then you got to dig back into it?
Always. And that's, there's another thing. Like, we keep talking about, like, oh, shots being missed. Like, obviously that affects that theme that we're talking about with these runs, because you're not making your shots, so it's allowing them. But why can't you figure out a way to not let something explode? Why can't you get those stops and make life simpler for yourself and get an easy two? Not even asking for a three. Just get to the paint, guys. I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm just where I felt like when I came into this podcast was just like kind of hopeless a little bit, where the being in the middle is not a good feeling. Like, when you've guys on your roster, when you look on paper and you go, damn, I like this roster, like, this can work. And when I say that, I'm obviously, you go into the depth and you would still have questions and everything, and you still have questions about size, but for the most part, you look at some of these individuals, like, they can hoop. Like, this is good in the NBA. It's not, though. It's not working because guys aren't making their shots, because they're not doing their job, even if they are playing basketball at a high level in different ways, or just certain individuals are. So yeah, I'm just in this place where, like, I'm feeling a little like hopeless, because I keep going, like, after feeling that high of the Houston win and what they did right, I didn't even need them to do everything right tonight. And guess what? They did a lot. Like we already said, they did a lot of good things throughout this game that if they won, we were going to, few times talk about these runs and be like, oh, but they can't let that happen against a better team, or they can't let have this. Blah, blah, blah. But instead, we're talking about another game where they just couldn't find a way to get a win. They got in a hole and they couldn't make shots.
Well, and then just not being able to close quarters well. I think about the second quarter, about three minutes to go, they're up 11. It's 58-47. They're up 11. You go to halftime, it's 63-62 Memphis. Dude, you go through a stretch where in the final 3:07 of the quarter, you go 0-for-6, one turnover. I mean, it has to be better than that, And that was just an absolute killer, too. And then in the third, you start taking advantage. It's 78-71 with 6 minutes to go. Then you get sloppy. Herter had a couple of bad fouls. You lost control. And then you get down 86-78. Luckily, Fox was able to score the final 6 points and tie the game going into the fourth. But there's too many swings that were killer in this game. And it's disappointing, and your margin for error is so slim when you can't shoot the ball. One more stat, Morgan. I know you got to go. The Kings in
I'm good right now.
The Kings in the second half, half shot 31% and 2 of 18 from 3. And they only got outscored by 4 in the second half. This game was winnable if you just make some shots. And so it's a killer, you know? It's a tough one.
Well, it is, but like, do you see how we're, when I texted you after the game and I said, so how did the Kings lose this one? And you're like, what? Like, you didn't even get what I was asking. And I was seriously just going like, what, how do you break this one down? It feels very repetitive, but at the same time, it's coming off of this win that you played such inspiring basketball throughout. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And then another swing too, fast break points. I was texting you at one point. I'm like, the Grizzlies are number one in fast break points and they have zero. Okay. Yes. And this was late into the second quarter. I'm like, Morgan, they've got zero right now.
Yes.
They ended the first half with 5. Okay. They finished this game with 22. Kings started to get killed in transition. You're missing shots. You got some bad turnovers that seem just costly. I know they had a ton of turnovers too, but it doesn't really matter if you miss shots, right? Sacramento just felt like when the offense went bad, it went bad. And that's the thing. There were some good looks. You know, I thought Fox had some amazing floaters that he missed. He goes 0 for 7. Murray, 1 of 7 from downtown. Herter, 0 for 6. So when you've got three guys, okay, Herter, Fox and Sabonis combined for, is that right?
What?
7 plus 7 is 14 plus 6, 20. They combined for 1 for 20 from 3. Okay, Isaac Jones had as many threes tonight as Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox, and Kevin Herter combined. So, yeah. Next thing I want to talk about before you go, I want to get your perspective on this. We got to figure out this Keon Ellis thing. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not insane, okay? I'm not acting like Keon Ellis is some all-star that's just chilling right now. But he's not playing. He was starting for you at one point. Starting. He is not playing. Why is he not playing? He has consistently been a 40% three-point shooter. He has consistently been one of your better defenders. He's not perfect, sometimes makes mistakes, sometimes fouls too much. He's a young player that on a good team would be getting rotational minutes. Why can't he play on this team?
I don't get it. And I think where I get the most frustrated, it's kind of like I said, why is I really like Jordan McLaughlin. Why is he going in before Keon Ellis, someone who was starting for this team, making an impact for this team? And we can go back to that game that Keon Ellis ended the third bad, was turning the ball over, had his moments. But look at the other shit that's going on with everyone else. It's not like anyone else is playing perfect basketball all the time. You know, so and Mike Brown was asked about it at practice. And he was like, he did nothing wrong. I just didn't play him. He just didn't play. And it's hard for me to believe because of all the things that you just mentioned. And we're getting back to this moment where it's like, hey, Mike, we got to find some hope on this bench, especially when that is the type of production that you got tonight.
The guy who played the most minutes off the bench tonight, Kevin Herter, played 25. Isaac Jones, 16. Jay Crowder played 12 minutes, 0 for 4. And then Keon with 2 minutes, 21 seconds. Jordan McLaughlin, 2 minutes and 52 seconds. This was a game where you don't want to play guys a lot of minutes. Second half back-to-back tomorrow. Well, Keegan played over 40. Fox played almost 38. Sabonis played 35. Monk, 32. DeRozan, 35. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that's what I keep thinking about the Keon thing is this. The roster's imbalanced, okay?
Yeah.
We've acknowledged that 1,000 times. Kevin Herter is not starting for them anymore, right? Uh-huh. Because he has not been productive. But they don't want to bench him because he makes $17 million and they want to make sure they could salvage this in some way, whether it's just get him going and being productive for this team or get him going, be productive so they can move him, because there have been reports about them having him involved in trade talks. you know, I also go, at what point do you go, I'm sorry, I need my best guys out there. And if he can't knock down shots, I got to go somewhere else. And Keon does too many good things to help a team that, like, in my opinion, can't be ignored. So
what I love is that from the beginning of the season, you have been supportive of Kevin Huerter track record, what he can do.
Yeah.
And then he has the moments and we're like, oh, could this be the game that he gets things back going? And just the poor guy, the ups and downs. And it's like you said, if he's not producing, this is a sport, this is a league where you have to do your job or coach is going to have to do something else. And that's why when you do see Keon with these type of minutes, it's frustrating.
So Keon, DNP last game, 2 minutes, 21 seconds in this game. That's a really, really tough one.
I'm playing as much as Keon tonight, so I'm sorry to leave you.
No, go do your thing. I'm going to stick around, talk about more about this game, talk with the chat, look ahead to Kings.
Don't worry, guys. He can talk for hours, so enjoy some Deuce time. And then I'll be back tomorrow with you on NBC, but then Deuce and I will have a post-game podcast in San Francisco. Hopefully we're talking about a win.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know what to expect. Victor may not play in that game. He did not play tonight for San Antonio. So, all right, Morgan, have fun tonight. Ross and Kendra said hi.
I will. Right. Bye.
There is the one and only Morgan Reagan. Okay. Yeah. Chat, we can make this about you too. You can get involved in this too. If you've got questions or comments, if you're in our Discord, you can hop in voice chat too, whatever you want. But look, when you're 10 and 13, this is a fragile spot that we've been all talking about. You can't just like sit back and go, all right, we can't play someone like Keon Ellis. Can you guys hang on one sec, please? This dog is barking like crazy. Kings are sitting at 10 and 13. And we could talk all day about this guy needs to do this. This guy needs to play this. You got to change some things up. This roster is imbalanced. It's been imbalanced. It was imbalanced before the season. We saw it. You didn't improve enough of your weaknesses. One of your weaknesses was getting a guy that can go get a bucket. You got that with DeMar DeRozan. But you're in a situation where you're forced to play Keegan Murray 40 minutes in a game. You're asking so much for Keegan Murray. And I think that hurts his development, especially offensively. I look at all these other teams in this league, and they've all got length and size. Look at tonight. I mean, what a luxury it is to have someone like Jay Huff, who's 7-footer, that could block some shots and hit some threes, who was out there for anybody to get. Brandon Clark is back. Another guy with some good size, right? Santi Aldama, same thing. Another big who could space the floor. And Memphis may not be some elite three-point shooting team. They're not. They're kind of middle of the pack, but they got some size. And Sacramento doesn't have enough size. Their bench isn't productive and explosive enough. And so we come on here after games, and we feel good after wins. Why'd they win last game? They won last game because their guys played well, but the others played well. Keegan knocked down shots. Huerter knocked down shots. Isaac Jones had an impact. Those, more times than not, are the ones the Kings have won this year is because they have some balance. It's not as if the Kings aren't able to create good looks. They got good looks tonight. They're not making shots. And if this is like a 5-game stretch in the middle of the season, you can go, hey, it happens sometimes. Wipe your hands. You'll move on. But it can't be ignored because it's been like this more times than not this year. You've been in a lot of games despite that. And that's great. But you don't get credit for being in games because you missed threes. Last time you don't go to the standings and go, yeah, you know what? We're in that game. Man, imagine if we hit a couple more threes. Pat yourself on the back. That's not how it works. So some tweaks have to be made. And I don't know when that's going to happen, what you can do. That's the challenge. That's the big time challenge. And then the next thing, really, in my opinion, is something I was talking to Morgan about too. Like, you have to find some more consistency with the pace on this team. You have to find better spots to get the ball to DeRozan. I think what I have noticed more times than not, when it's him in ISO situations, when he's creating, it looks clunky with the rest of the team. Now, when they run some stuff to get action for him in ISO situations, it's usually a little smoother because it's created with off-ball movement. And I think that's one area where Memphis has had a lot of success this year. That ball is popping. They lead, they're close to the league lead in assists per game. You look at their balance scoring. You know how many 20-point scores Memphis had tonight? Zero. Their best guy had 8 points. They can survive that because they get 18 from Marcus Smart. They get 15 from Aldama. They get 11 from Jay Huff. They get 12 from Laravia. That's just their bench I just named off. That's not mentioning Bane, who had 18. That's not mentioning Jaren Jackson, who, by the way, only had 15 in this game and played 25 minutes. 10 from Jalen Wells. If you went just name for name, you'd be like, oh, I like this name better for Sacramento. But you have to be able to go to your bench more and trust it. I don't think there's trust there, and I don't think there's enough talent on the Kings bench at this point in time. Appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. I want you guys to drop some questions in the chat that you have, and I'll tackle them. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by your friends over at Mother in Sacramento. If you have not been to Mother in Sacramento, what are you waiting for? It's at 2319 K Street. They've been a restaurant in Sacramento for almost a decade, and literally they represent Sacramento in the best way. They get fresh, great ingredients, creative chefs. It's Michelin bib rated. They focus on delicious food using seasonal and local produce. Mike, Lisa, and Rob, they are Sacramentans and have been part of the restaurant community for such a long time. Big Kings fans too. Highly encourage you guys to check out Mother. That's at 2319 K Street in Sacramento. Also, we're presented by Turtle Beach. Use promo code DMPOD for 10% off your order. Turtle Beach has so much gaming equipment, it's not even funny. Check out these new gaming headphones I have that you should get on your own too. These are badass. So you can head over to turtlebeach.com to grab your Gen 3 Stealth 700 headset. Sounds like an intense name because it has an intense sound. For a limited time only, head to turtlebeach.com and use code DMPOD for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code DMPOD. Don't delay. Get the perfect gift now. Happy holidays from Turtle Beach. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Golden One Credit Union. We're all one with Golden One. Kings fans, it's a great time to be with Golden One. They are the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You scan that QR code or go to their website, goldenone.com. You could see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. You can enjoy exclusive Kings perks, up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. You can also get 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. Plus, a chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Gold One card at select games. And that includes club access, food, and beverages. Now that's how you win as one. Check out goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're thinking about getting new windows, there's no better place to go than the experts over at Northwest Exteriors. They've got a showroom in Sacramento, and you could check out all the windows for yourself. They do siding too. They do HVAC. Get a new HVAC on your house, or they can work on the one that you have. The best part is they don't like subcontract out to some place in Southern California. They are local, and they have been in Sacramento. All their employees have been there for years and years. I highly recommend them, and they've got a good deal right now. You are getting an awesome buyback program. They're offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024. So check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because you know what? They are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Okay. Who's the player of the game tonight? Player of the game tonight. We'll get to your questions in just a second, but player of the game. I could tell you what my answer is. The Grizzlies bench. They are the players of the game. And it's, look at it, 60 points from the Grizzlies bench. They hit 10 threes in this game as a bench. Sacramento was 8 of 35 as a team. The Grizzlies bench had 10 points. Oh, oh, that's a killer. They are the simply the best players of the game. I'm going to get to some of your questions in the chat here. It's a lot of random ones right now. Let's see. Dirk says, Juice, how good would Sasha have been on this team? I mean, I don't know. Like, Sasha was inconsistent last year. He had moments where it looked good. He knocked down shots. He struggled a lot defensively. He got hurt. Didn't really have the trust. So I don't know. I mean, how good would he have been? One thing I mentioned during the offseason is I know there were a portion of the fan base that was so excited for Harrison Barnes to be gone. I'm like, look, man, Harrison Barnes was like a 40% three-point shooter every year he was in Sacramento. You are missing that. Now, can other guys knock down shots and make up for it? Sure. Well, fast forward, we're, what, 23 games in, and you have not gotten the production from three-point land that you have in previous years. No one's asking the Kings to be a 40% three-point shooting team. That'd be insane. I'll take 35%. I'll take 34% at this point, but they are like 31 probably after tonight. Just not good enough. Sato says, does anyone have Terrence Davis's number? Oh man, I miss the TD vibes back in the day on the original Beam Team team. Terrence Davis is playing in the G League right now for the Wisconsin Herd, and he's trying to grind his way back to the NBA. Last year, he was with the Rip City Remix, and then he ruptured his Achilles, so he's trying to come back from that. But yeah, he's trying to get back from get back to the league. Leandro says, agreed, Deuce. Offensive sets for DeMar is more of a flow versus him going ISO. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And there was no better example of that than that third quarter when Sacramento was taking on the Rockets. They ran the same play like 10 times. And it wasn't all for DeMar buckets. There was one that ended up, I think, leading to a Fox score, a Fox floater, a Domas dunk. You can get action, other action out of it. And I think when Sacramento elects to like slow it down and go ISO, and we're not talking about late in the fourth quarter when this was happening, this is kind of like middle stages of the fourth quarter. It just cuts off the flow a little bit. And I think what DeMar was seeing was, oh, I can get this mismatch, I can get foul called. And it worked to a certain extent, but I think you could still get in those same situations when others are creating for him. So that's how I look at it. Let's see here. Alfredo says, is December 15th the day we make a trade for some wings? I mean, nothing's really preventing you from making a trade now, right? December 15th is always the date people circle because that's the first day where players who were signed over the summer can be traded. So that's tough. Where's Morgan? She's out to dinner with some friends in San Francisco. Morgan in the chat. Deuce, do we still believe in DeMar talking about not being worried and that it's just December? Yeah, I don't think you should be worried. I mean, worried for what? If you're a player, you just have to focus on what you can control. As far as fans, yeah, I'm sure they're worried. Like, this team is 10 and 13 and the West is crazy competitive. Now, it doesn't mean the season's over and there's not time to turn it around, but you got to start doing it fast. And in addition to that, I think there's obviously some fear that no moves will happen because the last two deadlines, you have not seen any moves. Gooey says, do you think the Kings offense has gotten too complex for its own good? I mean, I don't really think it's that complex. I think there's just options everywhere. And I think with Fox, Monk, and DeRozan, Sabonis, those guys are smart players. I don't think like setting a screen and cutting is difficult, you know? I just want it to flow. And tonight, I'm not going to criticize. The offensive sets weren't necessarily bad tonight. You missed shots because you're not a good shooting team. You just went through two games where you put up 125 and 120. Tonight, you hit 110 and you shot under 40% in the game. That's pretty crazy. It just shows you how poor they've been from three. The fact that they've been in games. And that's why you look at it and you go, okay, can you find someone out there in the league who can hit an open shot on a somewhat consistent basis where you feel comfortable taking more threes, and then someone with some more size, and then you could really have something here. But at this point in time, I don't know how you can have faith that, hey, man, the Kings are going to start knocking down shots, because it's not just one guy who's struggling. Like, can Keegan eventually turn it around? Sure. Yeah, of course he can. Herter, I mean, he's been in a funk for a while, you know? It's tough to see. You know, Trey Lyles, he's out. So, I don't know. You know, Monk's been shooting well for three, which is a great sign. But they got to make a move. Question for you, Deuce. I get that the media folks are asking Mike Brown why didn't Keon play, but can someone ask why he's a 44% three-point shooter and isn't playing? It seems like nonsense when shooting is so needed. Yeah, that's why I think we're all sitting here wondering is, you know, it's not just him knocking down shots. He does other things out there with deflections, playing good defense. He should be playing. But I look at the Kings roster and how many guards do you have? Fox, Monk, Herter. I mean, DeMar to a certain extent. There's only so many minutes to go around. And I'm sure there's probably a thought that you got to play the guy that makes $17 million. Because if you don't and he's collecting DNP CDs, what's his value in the NBA to other teams too? So let's see here. How does a professional NBA player like Keegan Herter seem to just lose their three-point shooting? Mental mechanics? I mean, I think it's mental. I think there's a lot of mental in it. I think sometimes it's physical. Guys go through funks. You know, Keegan, on the plus side, I feel like more times than not, finds other ways to impact the game. Tonight, I thought he played some really good defense. He rebounded well. He played tough. He made some good defensive plays in this game, especially early in that second quarter. I thought he was everywhere. Same with De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron missed shots tonight, but I'm not going to blame De'Aaron for tonight, right? De'Aaron he had a career high or matched a career high with six steals. It was great. And I thought his defense was really nice. He missed shots tonight. But you have to find other ways if you're not knocking down shots. And that's problem with Herter is he hasn't found ways consistently to help the team if he's not knocking down shots. And I do think at some point it does become mental a little bit for sure. And you know, I think Keegan, sometimes it's physical. You're playing 40 minutes every night. It's just too many minutes. It's too many minutes. He's near the top of the NBA in minutes played. It's too many. He's defending some of the best guys. He's banging around, crashing, getting rebounds. Has to make sure he's playing too many minutes. So what do you do? You might have to. It's what I said the other night too. Is like, even if you don't love your options on the bench, you got to try it out. And I personally think it's unfair to put guys out there for 2.5 minutes and then go, all right, that's it. I mean, if you're Jordan McLaughlin, how do you get any type of rhythm or flow if you play 2 minutes in a game? If you're Doug McDermott, you're a shooter, you want to get in rhythm, how do you get in any flow if you're getting 3 minutes in a game and then you don't go back in? That's tough. And so I think there are many times, I said this last year with Davion and Sasha, that I feel like with some of the bench guys, if they're not perfect, they get pulled and they don't get back in. That's hard for a player's confidence. It's hard to get into a rhythm. I think you have to let guys work through mistakes sometimes. Sometimes that's challenging as a coach when you're trying to win games. And you're like, oh, we got to turn this around. But if you take a step back and think big picture, it matters to develop your bench. We've seen some injuries this year for Sacramento, right? DeRozan missed, five games. Monk missed seven. But, I mean, if Fox went down or you had more than that, and you got to go to Jordan McLaughlin, what's that look like? I mean, it may not look good. It's not good to lose Fox, duh. But I'm just saying, like, if this guy has not been playing all year, that's tough. Matthew says that, and their defense needs to improve as well. Yeah, I mean, their defense can be better. I didn't, you know, I'm not going to point to the defense tonight. I don't think the defense was bad tonight. It wasn't perfect all the time.
but I think this group has a ceiling as a defense. They made some nice plays defensively, but then they had some blown coverages. Like there were a couple of times in that first half, Jay Huff got open looks for three. Guy's a 40% three-point shooter. Your pick and roll defense has to be better. The communication has to be there. I mean, the Grizzlies love getting into the paint. They're the best scoring team in the paint in the NBA, but they are also smart enough that if it's not there, you swing it around and keep going. That's why they've been really good this year. Their offense has been nice. Anthony says, Fox, Murray, and Sabonis are all in the top 10 minutes per game in the NBA, which is crazy. Yeah, it is. And it doesn't feel sustainable, right? Kings take on the Spurs coming up tomorrow night. The Kings, of course, have not played well against San Antonio. A little better last game. They had a chance, but 23 made threes for San Antonio in that game. A franchise record. They set their franchise record earlier this season against Sacramento with 22 made threes. They've lost a couple in a row. The other night against Phoenix, they went 8 of 44 from three after hitting 23 against Sacramento. Tonight, they play two. They're going to be on the second night of a back-to-back. They lost to Chicago 139 to 124. Victor did not play in that game. Wembanyama sat out. I think it was like back soreness or whatever. And they were 8 of 28 from downtown. No idea if he's playing tomorrow night or not. But one easy fix for Sacramento is you are not getting killed from three tomorrow. Don't let it happen. It can't happen. The communication has to be there. If Victor is not there, okay, life's a little bit easier defensively. But if he's there, have your game plan and stick to it. Don't help off shooters. Don't let Victor just throw a soft double at him and he just picks you apart because he's 7'4", can see over everybody. If you're in pick and roll situations, don't allow an easy roll to the basket. Make sure you push these guys off their spots. Run these guys off the line. It's a winnable game. But, you know, it's about being locked in. And, you know, tonight, your guys play a lot of minutes. How are they going to respond tomorrow night in the second night of a back-to-back? That's tough. That's really tough. I'm going to look at the Spurs minutes for a second. Spurs, the guy who played the most minutes, Jeremy Sochan, played 36 minutes tonight. Everyone else on the Spurs played under 20 because they were down big. So their guys are going to be fresh, and your guys aren't. That's tough. Kings playing so bad they can't even take advantage of the Lakers playing just as badly, if not worse. Shake my head. Thanks, Monty. Yeah, and I think that's what's frustrating too with the Lakers is like they're having problems where they're losing at times because of effort plays. LeBron's older. They ran it back. And guys aren't making shots either. But then they are just breaking down. I don't think we watch the Kings go, hey, man, they're not trying out there. They're playing hard. It's just not good enough when you miss a shit ton of shots. Oh, I see we got some people in the night chat server. Let's check in with Leezy. What's up, Leezy?
Yo, what's up, Deuce? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Oh, snap. Oh, I'm sitting up here watching you on YouTube, and I got popped in. What's up, man?
You know, just trying to figure out how to save this team.
Oh, yo, well, sorry. Let me hop into this. I'm acting like this is my first time here. I just wanted to call in and give a quick overview of the Kings, man. It's really rough watching these games. Like, the big problem is obviously their role players are missing threes and they can't defend the three. It doesn't matter if it's the Grizzlies and Marcus Smart or the Spurs and whoever. Like, that's really just a big problem for them. My question was really, well, I call it Deuces. Do you think at the deadline Monty will do anything? Because based on previous history, it doesn't seem like he is. And if he doesn't, at what point do you start thinking about, you know, Cooper Flagg and maybe the draft?
Well, a couple of things. One, I mean, if you don't make a move before the trade deadline, I don't know what to say. I mean, like, you gotta figure it out. I mean, other teams are doing it. Other teams make trades. This is the team you put together, right? Like, you're seeing De'Aaron Fox have one of his best years. Sabonis has been really good. DeMar has put up awesome numbers. Monk is a starter now and playing awesome basketball. You got to capitalize on that. How do you do it? And it's not always a swing at some, like, major star. What'd the Mavs do last offseason, last trade deadline? They didn't like Grant Williams. He didn't fit well. You know what they did? They went, you know what? He's gone. We're going to move him. They went and got P.J. Washington. They went and got Gafford. And then they draft well with Derek Lively. Like, you make a good move at the deadline. You get Devin Carter in the fold. Okay, maybe things are looking on the upswing. But if this is the team you're putting forth and they're 10 and 13, you can't be satisfied. You have to pick a direction. You're spending a lot of money on this team. De'Aaron Fox's future is looming large. You have to go make a move to get this team to be better. They're not that far away, in my opinion, and the numbers back it up. You have to find a way. And as far as tanking, no, we're not talking about tanking. You know why you don't talk about tanking? There's a 14% chance at getting the number one pick. The Pistons have been trying to do it for years. And how many times have they gotten the number one pick? Zero. Zero.
Yeah.
All these other teams move up. No, it may, if the lottery was, hey, you have an 80% chance of getting the number one pick, maybe it's different. It's 14% chance. I'm not tanking for Cooper Flagg. No.
Well, no, I agree with you. The thing is, you do have to capitalize right now. Like you said, Fox is playing great. But here's the thing, Deuce. You've seen me in Discord. Fox and Sabonis, they both had career years last year, and they didn't even make the playoffs. So there's that. They're trying. Their direction is win now. I know a lot of Kings fans get upset about this, and I hate bringing it up. But sometimes you got to move some of your younger assets if you want to win now. I know there's players everyone likes, but if they're not performing, you got to capitalize right now, because like you said, Fox isn't going to stick around if the team keeps losing, whether you're tanking or not, because they're not going out there trying to lose and they're losing. I think the Kings should maybe like talk to is the Nets. Obviously, Monty has made moves with the Nets before. Do you think everyone wants Cameron Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith Jr.? Do you think like any of that's actually plausible? Like it could happen, because it seems like those are the names everybody wants right now.
I think Cam Johnson's definitely an intriguing piece. Like, the guy has been able to knock down shots. He's playing awesome basketball. And almost so awesome that it seems like the asking price is going to be absurd.
Yeah, like Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, and that's... I'm out. Like, I can't do that. I can't be giving up. I can't be giving... Like, you trade multiple firsts to get Cam Johnson. What's your ceiling?
Exactly. So I agree. Like, that's too rich. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too rich, right? But yeah, someone like Dorian Finney-Smith. Dorian Finney-Smith would help this team.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at this point, anyone in Sacramento who's 6'8 to 6'9, good wingspan, decent athlete, can hit an outside shot, you may have a chance to get minutes on my team.
Yeah. Now, Deuce, question. Why during the offseason wasn't this stuff addressed? Like, Jay Crowder's been a name out there forever, and we just now got him. During the draft, going into the draft, Kings knew they needed, like, a wing, and obviously Monty didn't address that. The big thing with this roster is the way it's constructed. Your three best players are all mid-range players with Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan. They're all mid-range players. That's fine. You would think your role players like Keegan and Herter could hit a dang shot, but that's not the case. One other thing, Deuce, I wanted to ask you why I had you on the line is, what do you think of all of Mike Brown's like different rotations and lineups? Like, every other game, you don't know. I don't know who's starting. We've already seen Crowder start, McDermott start. For whatever reason, Keon Ellis can't get in the game. Colby Jones. Like, do you think that's leading to the inconsistency for the team, is just all his different rotations?
Well, some of the lineup issues you had. I mean, DeMar DeRozan was out. Right. Like, you know, Malik Monk missed games. Herter's missed games. Sabonis missed a game. So that part, I think the Malik one was put in there because they need an injection. And I think the Malik thing has looked pretty damn good. But the bench rotations are the ones that we've talked about tonight. Just concerning. Like, it's just, there's stuff I like. I like Isaac Jones. Does some good things out there. But you're asking a lot from a guy who's a rookie on a two-way deal. He's going to have bad moments. He had some tough ones tonight. But, you know, he also had some nice moments. He's a rookie. You know, Keon's got to play more. I mean, everyone's got to play a little bit more. You're playing your guys too many minutes, and I think that has to be developed.
Yeah. Well, so. I agree. I agree with all that. My last question was, obviously, going into this offseason, it's going to be a big make or break year. Obviously, it's going to be time to give Fox that super max contract. Are you concerned about that? Because, like, if the team's loose and the direction's looking bad, like, I don't know if how that's going to go. Obviously, you want to re-sign him, but if the team's not winning, do you really want to spend all that money on a player and then him not be happy? I don't want to see the Kings end up like Dame Lillard, where he signs it and then all of a sudden, a year or two later, he's like, oh, I want out.
Yeah, that would be bad. One, he's got to be an all-NBA guy this year to be able to be super max eligible, right? I want De'Aaron Fox on this team. And
I know.
If I'm running this front office, I'm doing everything I can to put pieces around this guy. I think he has proven to be one of the best two-way guys in this league. His defense is ridiculous. His defense is just at a level that I don't think many guards that produce like he does offensively can even do. I can't think of another guard who does what he does on the defensive end and also does what he does offensively. They don't hide him on other guys. He takes tough matchups. He changes the games with deflections and steals. Hell, at the end of the third quarter tonight, why they get back in the game? Because he was like, all right, let's go. I'm missing my threes. I'm going to get some steals. I'm going to push. I'm going to get in transition and get in the paint. Floater, bang, bang, bang. We got a tie game going into the fourth quarter. I think he is developed into a really special talent. So my whole goal would be, I want this guy around long term, and I want to work with him and go, what can we do to turn this shit around? What do you need? And let's go from there.
Yeah.
So, all right, Leezy.
He has 6 steals. Yeah.
Yeah, six steals, all right, well, dude. I mean, he's near the top in deflections, and steals can be overrated sometimes, but I'll tell you what, the ones I saw tonight were not overrated. He went and got it. He went and straight up stole it from them. This wasn't like a bad pass. He said, I'm getting the ball from you.
Deuce, can I ask one more question? Now, this one's kind of like out of the park. I know I'm taking up a lot of time.
Doing a press conference over here.
Well, when was the last time we got to talk during night saying, chat?
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Well, I know this one's going to be like way out there, but everyone's happy with DeRozan. I know I'm happy. I'm glad he's on team, all that, so I'm not hating. But when you see like LaVine averaging like 40% from three and playing pretty decent on the Bulls, do you ever think about how that fit could have been different or the impact he could have had?
No, because there was risk involved with it. He's off to a great start. All right, Zach LaVine's talented, super talented. But look at the injury history. It was a gamble, and his contract is not just one you go, oh, there's nothing there. So, I don't. But he's off to an unbelievable start.
All right, cool. All right, well, thanks, Deuce.
All right, Leezy. Thanks, man. Let's talk to my guy Joe. What's up, Joe?
Yo, what up, cuh? I'm just, like, literally delivering something right now. But
what are you delivering?
Dollar General stuff like toilet paper and laundry soap and cat food.
All right, man. Good for you. All right. What's going on tonight, man? Are you feeling any better?
Oh yeah. I was never upset really. It's just sports, but like, I like you pointed out, I don't like Mike Brown's, you know, rotations. I wish, he would just kind of rely on his younger guys a little bit more. Give Keon more time, give Orlando Robinson another look, like he's done with Isaac Jones. And I mean, Isaac Jones looks really good. I think it's another undrafted player that we found a little bit of something with. Sorry, there's a dog out here. But yeah, I don't know. Leezy covered most of it, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, is it because Leezy asked 75 questions?
Yeah. I guess.
Joe, don't get on the live on the podcast and get all shine.
Oh no, I'm just literally trying to find an apartment right now.
Then why do you?
Well, because everybody in the Discord told me to get on.
Anything else? Anything else you have?
Just trade Herder immediately, please.
Okay, there's Joe. Trade Herder immediately, please. That's his breakdown. Man. Well, another tough one for the Kings tonight. We'll see what they look like tomorrow against San Antonio. I'm going to be on pre and post game tomorrow with Morgan and Drapes. My first time. I don't think I've ever worked with all three of them at once. Maybe one time last year. So I'll be on Kings pre and post game, Kings Spurs tomorrow. And we'll try to figure this one out and see if the Kings can turn it around. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. We love you guys. But I got to go. Have an amazing night.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday.
But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.